Hello and welcome to the Professional Insights Podcast, Season 6. Thank you for all for joining us. My name is Brandon Curry.
I'm Jeff Collins.
Josh Bond.
And Trevor Lindy.
And I'm producer rookie.
Producer rookie, finally.
Did you produce that fine music? That's a catchy intro. I love it.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Home studio. Yeah, that was me in my home studio with the bass guitar and the drums. Just hitting it for you guys.
Like a la Charlie Sheen on...
Just making the jingles. Were you playing everything at once? Yeah, that was hilarious. Me. All me guys, obviously.
Look at my background. I'm back from pooping in my trailer.
Look at that.
Wow.
Or not pooping in your trailer.
You're not.
Are you allowed to poop in your trailer?
Okay.
Well, that was what we established with Dean when we came over, that I was allowed to poop in my trailer, but nobody else was.
Me and Curry have actually shit in your trailer. We wanted to tell you.
Like, not even the kids?
You got the keys.
Oh, you got the keys, have you?
No, we had them.
Oh, okay.
Getting back.
I left a little bit on the seat, too.
Oh, perfect.
Well, what if there's an arrangement where you're the honey man for the weekend? Are you then allowed to shit in the trailer?
If I'm the what?
If like, say, I agreed to be the honey man for the weekend, after the weekend, then am I permitted? Like, is that, like, you don't want to be hauling somebody else's shit?
Nope.
Which I get, but.
Nope. What so if it breaks?
It's a dangerous game, though, fellas, because.
Why'd you even buy a toilet on? You could have saved a shit ton of money. Fuck the toilet.
No pun intended. Shit ton.
It was a pun.
Honestly, though, I understand Trevor not wanting people to do that because we went to a Bills game one time on a Dorchester limousine.
That's never good.
And that's the great way to start the story. And I had the bright idea to charge girls to go to the washroom on our bus. Oh. One beer to pee, two beers to poo. And they're like, how are you going to know which one we do? And I'm like, I'm going to know.
I've got a camera in there, sweetheart. I've got a camera.
Honestly, we had like 40 beers, and then the bus driver came up to me. He's like, what are you guys doing? You're going to fill the entire tank, and we're going to be screwed. No one's going to be able to use the washroom. I'm like, yeah, but look at all this beer. Like, we're winning. And lo and behold, on the way home on the QEW, actually around Welland, the shit tank exploded and went all over the QEW.
Oh.
Is there like a news clipping of this too? I'd love to read that.
I have a picture of the guy lying beside the bus, passed out because it exploded all over the QW. Police had to come.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
That's you, isn't it, Rookie? That was you, wasn't it? Don't lie.
No, I was the one that was apologizing to the he's like, this is the guy that was charging the girls to go to the washroom. It's his fault. Like, no, it was your fault for sideswiping the guardrail, bud.
Literally and figuratively, a bus driver, eh, Rookie? That guy.
Yeah,
Lindy, were you on the Jays trip I did where we had 26 guys drunk out of our minds and no toilet?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Curry was on that one too.
They gave us a sink and a bucket on the way there. Everyone's like, "I'm not pissing in a bucket, not at all."
Nope. But
way back, everyone's so bombed, we got to a point where we would. Fill the bucket halfway and pass it on before we dump it down the sink.
It was disgusting. People were pissing on the front of the bus, like on the limo bus. They went next to the driver. That was what was happening.
Well, remember, we were leaning our heads against that door that opened up, going down the QEW.
Yes.
peeing in the
steering for balance.
In this bucket. Piss everyone's hand. It was wicked.
That was the
I think we've done a trip since then.
No, we haven't.
Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah.
That was
funny. Funny enough,
we have a sign me up.
Toilet explosion.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're the one who probably organized it, right? And I'm the one who did it. I'm like, oh my God.
If you recall, that was the trip.
Were waiting.
That was the trip that.
Stay with Lat, first name.
Stick with first name only. Mike was so intoxicated from the moonshine that Chris brought.
Oh my God. Yes.
And we went to the bar and another Mike was trying to buy that owns an HVAC company trying to buy a round and bought the other Mike a beer and security followed him in because he was playing fucking ping pong or pinball in the security line.
Pinball wizard, eh?
Yeah. Pinball in the security line.
Did he
and
get booted?
Dan and I.
Did he get booted?
No, because Dan and I had to play chaperone to this gentleman the rest of the night.
You never have to. We're all big boys. You get fucked up in public, you're on your own.
Let's be clear, though. He was going to be ejected if Dan and I didn't step in and keep him there.
So you guys are white knights, eh? I would have laughed my balls off and pushed him over.
Come on.
Bought him a shot, eh? And bought him a shot.
I remember that, though. The other Mike bought a round. It was like $300. And then he left to go grab a sausage outside because the lineup was too big, and he was kicked out in the second inning.
Yep.
And then he took a cab right home. It was $300. He was there for one inning.
Right.
He's like, I'm going past the Penn Center. I'm almost home. We're like, oh, my God. That was $700.
Yeah, because we could not find him.
Did that guy talk the most shit, too, about how he's the biggest drinker and stuff? Because it's always the guy.
He didn't talk the most shit before the trip. He wagged his dong out a little bit when he bought a round at there. I think he bought like 5 shots and 5 beers, and it was like $350 or something stupid. But he was like, I'm the man. And then he got booted out because he tried to buy some. And I'm like, shithead, you could have went and bought scalper ticket for like $10 and came back in, you know, because you got booted. Who cares? We were in the bar the whole night anyways.
Yeah.
But then he took a taxi cab for $380.
Yeah, because he couldn't get back in and couldn't find our limo bus.
Well, and I was the only one who had the limo number because I organized and all that, and I don't check my phone when I'm at a thing like that.
Yeah.
My only point of reference, Collins, is you just keeping on buying shots for poor messing there at a Stag.
We got some good topics today to discuss. It's just, you know, we're in the middle of
reminiscing about old memories.
Drinking stories.
But there's a bigger story. There's a bigger story, gentlemen. Austin Matthews, 4 years, 13.25 AAV. Locked him up.
I love it. You know what? I was listening to it today and they're like, why didn't he do 8 years? I'm like, why do you want him at 8 years? You're getting his prime years till 31. Let's see if we even want him after that. You know, if he hasn't,
do you think the Leafs were like 4 years, or do you think he said four years?
From what I heard, Leafs were 5 years, and he was 3 years, and they settled on four. Yep. And he took a bit of a haircut. It doesn't seem like a haircut, but you got to remember next year when he's up, like the cap's going to be quite a bit up.
Yep.
And if he was unrestricted next year, he's getting 16, 17 million from whatever team he wants. I think it was a great deal, and I don't care if we have him until 34.
16, 17's high. I figured he'd probably get 12,
31 is when players in the NHL start to decline. So he might not even get that much when he's 31. And everyone's saying, why do 8 years? But he's done 9 years at about the same amount of money Connor McDavid had. And you got him until he's 31. And then you can decide if you want him at that point. I think it's perfect. I wouldn't want to sign any of these guys to eight-year deals.
So look at the Islanders. What did they sign that guy for? Like 15? Was it DiPietro?
Yeah.
DiPietro,
yeah.
Eh?
Yeah.
Like 15 years or something.
Stupid. But if you look, the salary cap, the NHL salary cap is, according to Forbes, is projected to make another $4 million jump from 2024 to 2025.
They think that's low end.
So basically, last year was $82.5 million. This year projected is around $83.5 million. So only $1 million more, but doesn't matter. We, you know, the Leafs are fine for the next year because Marner is not up until next year.
And Tavares, same time too.
Contract.
Willy-nilly's this year, though, right? Willy-nilly's this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Willy-nilly's got one more year.
Does he have one? Yeah, but I mean, they're trying to sign him now, are they not?
Right, 2024, 2025, we're looking at literally a $4 million jump, then an additional $4 million to 92. So you're looking at $8 million, which, so that's essentially in today's dollars, you're getting Austin Matthews for around $5.25 million. Right, like,
because I mean, I see what you're saying.
You're getting additional $8 million
To spend.
Right, to spend because he only
they need an $8 million defenseman on that back line still, though. That's the big problem. If I had a dangle Nylander to get a stud right defenseman, that's what they got to do right now.
Gone. Oh, 100%. Bye, Willie.
I'll agree. Yeah.
Because I would take Domi and Bertuzzi over Nylander any day of the week combined, and we need a right defenseman to replace him. They'll keep Nylander for the year.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, he's not going to get it from the Leafs because, like, if you look at the stats from Willie Nylander and Austin Matthews has played fewer games, has more goals, more points, and you factor in Willie's about 70% of the goal production than Austin Matthews. But he wants, what's 10 million divided by 13.25? What do we got? But he wants 75% of what.
Well, he's got of what Austin almost Matthews. Zero defensive skills. You know, he's an offensive whiz. And do you want? I don't want to sign him for 8 years either. They're saying you got to get him in 8 years. I'd get another 4-year contract for Nylander. That's it.
He's a contract player. Nylander.
You got to keep him hungry. Keep him hungry. 8 years, the hunger's gone. As far as I'm concerned, the shorter the term, the better.
Nylander, the hunger's gone after he signs his contract until his next contract comes up. That's my
could opinion. Be. You know what? You keep him on a contract year the whole year. Have his best year he ever has his whole career.
Absolutely.
This year.
Mm-hmm.
You sign him 8 years at 9.5. He's not going to have a good year.
Nope. And he was starting last year, right? He was starting to put the Jets on. But
again, he's also player. Against like second line defensive players, not the top line players, right? Yeah. So people don't understand how that works in hockey. Matthews garners the top defensive players on each team.
Like Austin Matthews, to put it into perspective, has only played 481 games. Willie Nylander has played 521, so about 40 games more than Austin Matthews. But in that time frame, Austin Matthews has scored 299 goals to Willie Nylander's 177. So he's 120 goals more.
Oh, for sure. There's not a question. They're not comparable at all. I mean,
not even close.
Matthews has 540 goal seasons already at a 7-year career.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
and a 60 goal.
Well, yeah, that's one of them is a 60. Yeah. And I mean, he's got a regular season MVP. Like, I mean, it's, you're comparing a watermelon.
He was the main guy to get signed. Now the bigger problem is going to be what's Marner thinking now that he's got that. Because Marner signs next year. Does he want $14 million? Does he do 8 years? Does he do 4 years?
These guys have to be smart, though, because they – I feel like Nylander is that kind of guy who will go and play on, like, a Columbus or a bottom-feeding team for all of
Washington.
The money.
Yep. He'll go to play with Rasmus Sandin.
And then, like, you have to – if you want to win, especially in the NHL because it has the tightest salary cap, you have to – take less money to win. You have to prioritize winning over making all that money. And I don't think that's in Nylander's DNA because Matthews took that haircut. When you actually break it down, you can see that he did.
Yep.
On the surface level, you're like, that's too much. Because even Leafs Twitter is like, that's too much. It's too expensive. He's the highest paid player. AAV,
they're retarded.
You know what I mean, though?
Yeah. I was listening to Kipper and Bourne today, and Kipper's like, why do you do 7 years? Do you want him signed to 34? Look at John Tavares. He's 32. And he's about to decline, right?
Well, we're going to get him at a deal, Tavares, if we re-sign him, right?
Like, but Matthews is banking on when he's 31, he's still considered a top five player in the league. He's a big body who gets hit a lot. I don't know if he's going to be that in 5 years. So we're getting his whole 20 age years as a Leaf.
His prime.
No matter what. His prime.
His prime.
Your prime's 26 to about 30 in the NHL.
Well, it depends on the player. Some people,
well,
some
majority
people
hit majority
stride
of
early,
them.
Right? He hit his stride pretty early.
Yeah, but the majority of now you're starting to learn how to win and shit like that, right? But the majority of them, your prime years, he just committed to the Leafs. That's all you can ask for. And he's banking on he's a top five player in 5 years, which I don't know with Connor Bedard coming up, all these young studs coming up and all that.
Yeah,
he's banking. He's going to do that. So if he is, we'll pay him. If he's not, we can walk.
I almost draw a comparison between the deal he signed yesterday, obviously not like the term and length, to what Patrick Mahomes signed, that massive like $500 million deal. And everybody's like, oh my God, like that's insane amount of money. And now it's a bargain.
Yeah.
Like, because Leon Draisaitl next year is going to come up. He's going to probably command 17 or 18.
Absolutely.
Well, the difference in the NFL, though, he can say, I want more money anytime he wants, right? That's the difference in the NFL. NHL, you sign
McDavid
it. You're
a year. Connor McDavid still has 2 more years on his contract at $12.5 million.
And he's gonna get a Leaf. He'll be a Leaf. And
you
then
think so?
Tavares can go. If he doesn't win the next 2 years, he's gonna want. He was talking about it today. Right, he has not committed to Edmonton. He's like, I'm gonna see it out right now. Yeah. Me and my wife, because they're starting their life, are both from Toronto and all that. They said we're fine with it right now. We want to see it out. But he's a Toronto boy through. He's been doing charities all the time right now in Toronto.
Where's he from?
He was at a
Markham.
He was from Richmond Hill.
Richmond Hill. Thank you. Yeah.
He was at a beer league game. Played on the.
Blew up Twitter.
Like what? These guys are coming from their construction paving jobs for their beer league.
Can you imagine someone taking his freaking knee out and all that, Trenny? Like you getting all cocky and all that? Like, oh god.
That's dangerous, man. If I'm the Oilers, I'm kind of pissed you did that.
If I'm the Oilers, I have snipers in the crowd watching, and anyone skates near him, you ting him right in the leg.
As a person, I love it though. Good for him. I'm human.
Oh yeah.
Here I go.
He's a Toronto
boy. Come have some beers with the boys and hang out for sure.
It's great.
But Edmonton's very similar to Toronto, right? They're top end.
Yeah, and I do feel that, like, listen, if he in 2 years he'll play till the end of his contract. I mean, he very well might get traded if a deal can't be set out. But I mean, it's I guess not out of the realm of possibility that Tavares retires, gets a nice cushy job up at the Leafs front office.
Tavares won't retire in 2 years. He'll do a cushy deal for the next 4 years to stay in Leafs.
$3 or $4 million,
something like that. And that's the beauty, because when Marner's up, so is his contract. So all the savings you get on Tavares can go to Marner. But Marner, you can't pay more than Matthews. You just can't.
No.
Yeah, you talk to Sticky there. He's going to say that you can. He argues with me all the time, John, that Marner's better than Matthews. And I mean, it's Matthews is the franchise player. Now don't get me
Marner's
the creator, right?
Marner's stack was second assists.
Yeah.
Second assists.
Yeah.
Goals are what count.
He's the playmaker. And don't get me wrong, I love Marner's style of play, right? If Marner put on another 15, 20 pounds,
he'd be dangerous. I don't like Marner's style of play at all.
Guys, all right, just to put it into perspective, points for Matthews in 7 seasons.
Yep.
Okay, 481 games played. This is at NHL.com.
Yep.
Points are 542.
Yeah, I figured Mitch he was Marner. Almost dead. And he's got about 300
games
goals.
Played,
I think,
507 games played. Points 554.
Yeah. All you got to ask the question is, who would you rather have as your cornerstones, Matthews and Marner, or Cole Caulfield
Matthews.
And Nick Suzuki?
Because Matthews at the end
Marner.
Of the day,
Matthews and Marner.
Who would you rather have? Two midgets or like a power center stud? Look at him. He's
We're
looking
asking
at
you,
pitch.
Trevor.
He's looking at pictures of Cole Caulfield.
I've completely zoned out. This
did
is
because we're talking about hockey, and you no longer have a team.
Like, did they send Caulfield back to the minors again, or is he back still playing in the big club?
They put him on a stretching table. They're trying to get another inch or two out of him, so he's a big boy.
Here's the thing. You've got Mitch Marner, right? You don't get an assist unless the person you gave it to puts it in the net.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
right.
Absolutely.
So you don't right. So it is a tandem. So you are just as good as the person that you're playing with assists.
That's the thing.
It's very important, and I don't put down
Bergeron.
What Mitch. I don't put
yeah,
down
gone.
What Mitch Marner.
Woohoo!
I don't put down what Mitch Marner does or his playmaking ability.
No.
But if you don't have anyone to play with, it's futile. I mean, you just got to look at, like, listen, Carlson, what he did last
Batman
year on
Robin.
A Sharks team was absolutely crazy, right? 100 points on that kind of a Sharks team.
101.
But he has not exceeded 50 points since going to San Jose.
Who's that, so, Curry?
Eric Carlson.
Yeah.
Last year was the first year he broke 50 points.
Yeah, he had an Achilles, really bad Achilles injury, right?
And
sliced.
Yeah, and I don't know. And he was really in Ottawa, I think. I think he dealt with quite a bit of shit, him and his wife. There was a whole
– there was some
real bad ugliness there, right? So he's a stud D, man, like –
He is.
He's a stud D, but he's. I still don't think he's the best D in the league. There's other Ds that you need a Chris Pronger type D. He was.
Well, that's a different style, though. Pronger's a different style.
Out of 14 seasons, including Ottawa and San Jose, Carlson has only exceeded 50 points 6 times.
Yeah, but he also is a defenseman.
That's a pretty
good
career.
That's a defenseman.
No. But look at what Pittsburgh gave up. Like, Montreal clearly won that trade, and San Jose walked away looking pretty, because they only retained 25% of the salary. Like, that's pretty good. No, less than that. 10% of the salary.
What did Pittsburgh do with Geno?
He signed $8 million a year for like 4 or 5 years.
Right. So they're trying for one more run. That's what they're doing while they've got.
Well, they got a very similar Leafs team, but they're way past their prime. Correct. But they've won before. Yeah. Right. So they're taking another kick of the can. I don't think they have a chance in hell to win another cup, Pittsburgh.
They're a strong team, man. Like, they didn't even make
the playoffs last year. So putting Carlson on there, that's less defense.
Yeah.
He had a phenomenal.
You know another tragedy. How about Arizona with Shohei tearing his UCL?
No, I never heard that.
Saw that.
Who?
Did he?
The pitcher?
How did he do that? In a game?
Last night. He was pitching. He didn't even get through five batters. And he was on, like, this base. They basically say they don't know if he needs to have surgery yet. But that injury alone, because in 2018 he had Tommy John surgery. Okay. And
which is pretty normal, like, for a pitcher nowadays, right?
It is. And he was lighting it up. But this, he's done for the season. He might need surgery. And they say that because he was always going to walk at the end of the year,
because they didn't trade him.
That's a weird injury, though, just coming off the mound, I guess. Or
I don't know. They said
that cost him $100 million.
The UCL is in his elbow, right?
I thought you said ACL. Sorry,
that's a horrible injury for a pitcher,
especially when you have no contract.
Absolutely,
that's $100 million loss.
What's going on with Manoah?
Million. They're saying $200 million. They said that he was going to be a $500 million contract. He would be the largest in MLB.
This is the risk these athletes do, though, trying to wait it out to the end of your contract. And you miss. Say Nylander has something bad happen this year, trying to play it out.
Do you ever? You never want to wish. No, I never want to wish really harm on anybody, but a pedophile or somebody like that, right? But. Like, you know, somebody like Willie, like, where you hold out contract.
Specifying who you wish ill will on.
Well, 100%.
How about cannibals?
Like, why don't we just also name Hitler on there, too?
Cannibals? Putin.
In my opinion, a pedophile tops the list, so.
Absolutely.
What about a cannibal pedophile?
Well, now you're getting multiples. He's still a pedophile.
It's hyphenated.
No, I got forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, my God.
You're wishing no ill will on anyone. That's what you're saying.
But William Nylander, like, you know, on his contract holdout and the fucking games he plays, right? Like,
that's his dad's DNA. His dad did the same thing when he was in the NHL.
I know the old man did the exact same thing.
You know what? The best saying out there right now, my favorite saying, fuck around, find out. I love it. Mm-hmm. And I would love, honestly, Trey Living to find a killer defenseman, ship him out. Mm-hmm. And it's more to teach him a lesson. I think he's better to stay with him. But this entitled bullshit of, you know, whatever they want.
Yeah.
It drives
That's me. The millennial.
Matthews, I think, made a mistake, honestly, signing the contract he did. Because it brings him to 31. And you'd be better off going to 34. Because 31 is going to be a whole different career, what he's like, the way he plays. I don't think he's going to be top five in the league at 31. My personal opinion.
I disagree.
He just gets only four beaten in the playoffs.
He's going to start negotiating 1 year before, right?
Mm-hmm. At that point, matter. He's going, like, to try to get that 8-year contract at 31.
That's
listen,
what he wants.
Listen,
exactly.
Finish Austin career, Matthews, right? based on his skill set, okay, will be one of the top three players in the NHL at the age of 31. But what Collins is saying is, based on the game that he plays, there's a high probability that a Shohei injury-like injury can happen to this player at 30, 31. You're like, we all know, rookie, you know, you're in your 30s now. Your body does not sustain the crap that it
used to. Give me a break. Come to your 40s and come talk to us.
Oh, I'm almost 50 and I'm still fucking slashing it. 36.
It's more of the hangovers that suck more.
5 years from now, I think, is such a different landscape in the NHL, and he's banking on himself being a top five player in the NHL at 31. I'm telling you, I don't think he will be.
Yeah. Well, you're saying there's going to be some young growth coming in too, right? And you mentioned
we got Connor Bedard right now coming up, who's going to be a stud.
You can't say that, Jeff. Right? I hope he's saying it right now.
I just hope like I
so.
Said,
he's a Canadian.
Would win
boy,
a series
right?
last year. He will be a stud.
He'll be a stud, but here's the thing: he's also playing on Chicago, so like you only can be a stud if you're surrounded by the team to make
well,
him a stud.
But Matthews was a stud at 18 and didn't matter for 3 years, so they got 3 years to give Bedard a team, and they are stacking up picks and everything right now because they have so much money to retain.
You remember Rico Fada, Jeff? Played out of the Sioux in the OHL.
Sounds like a porno name.
Pretty sure. Yeah. No, but
Italian porno name.
He was a stud junior. You don't remember Rico Fada? He was a stud junior. And then,
well, he went remember Radek Bonk? Radek Bonk?
Yeah.
Alexander Daigh?
Right.
It's different now, though. Different now. He broke like McDavid's records.
I'm pretty sure it was Rico Fada played.
But his legs are like this on Bedard's, man. He's a clone of Crosby, more or less.
Unfortunately, when you look at it in like a macro sense across all of the sports, the question for all athletes is do you bet on yourself or do you take the safe money and safe deal that the team offers you? And like it's with any discipline, really, like even your guy stuff that you do. Do you take the guaranteed, you know, that might be less, or do you bet on yourself and hope that you're going to get much more down the line? And it's rare when it works out for the player who holds out. You think it, NFL, Le'Veon Bell didn't work. Like, it just doesn't work out for these guys.
You know what the difference? Nylander's a type of
worst
player.
Worst draft pick in Flames history. What's and that? I'm pretty sure.
Rico Fada. The Italian porn star. I think Nylander's biggest thing he's betting on is that he does not have a physical nature. So he thinks he won't get hurt, but you got to look at what the Leafs did in the offseason. They added two major antagonists and then the heavyweight of all heavyweights in the NHL. Their games are going to be more physical this year.
Absolutely.
And so if your tough guys go after the best team's tough guy or players in the other team, those guys don't go after the tough guys on our team. They go after the skill guys.
Listen, Trivling did it properly, right? Because what was the issue? Remember when Bennett smashed what's-his-name behind the net there?
I can't wait till Florida tries his first
game.
And
what
game.
Did everybody do?
He's dead man.
Oh, what happened there?
That's okay. Every playoff series that Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner been in.
Man, I would have been in there as a 170-pounder there, given an elbow or something, man.
Well, that's what the mistake was. Something. Simmons should have been in all those games against Florida when it got that rough.
Yep.
And they didn't.
Yep.
And they had nobody on that team who would stand up for him.
Yep.
At all.
Now
when they DDT'd Matthew Nyes on the ice right there.
Yes.
That was Bennett. Hell should have broken out right there.
Wasn't it Bennett behind the net?
He DDT'd him on the ice. DDT'd him.
And
took him out for the rest of the year. And he didn't even get 2 minutes.
Nope.
I know. It's brutal.
And the next game they play, Ryan Reeves is going to go find Sam Bennett and slap him around like a little bitch.
Yep.
And they're going to say, this is a different Leaf team.
Yep.
I love what they did in the offseason.
100%.
Love it. Because that's why I hated watching the Leafs. It was
now
like
they sign their stud.
All-star game.
They got to sign one more stud. And then you can piece it around after that. What does Montreal have, Trevor?
You know Trevor's naked right now below the waist.
Let's just do 5 minutes of Habs talk.
I think that we don't even have 5 minutes.
We don't have 5 minutes of material.
We don't have 5 minutes. What are they going to finish? Bottom one? Bottom two? Or bottom three next year?
Oh, well, hold on a sec. What's going on with Carey Price? What's going on with Carey Price?
He's drinking gasoline on the reservation right now. He's retired. He's done. He's riding out to get as much money as he can right now.
I just found our clip.
Oh, Jesus.
He's done. Gallagher will be traded midseason because they're going to try to recoup anything for him. But they're building their team around two...
And
5'8" guys right now.
Need some stilts. Is that what you're saying?
That's what they're going to do. They're building around 2 5'8" guys right now. See, Trevor knows. He knows. He's not saying
no.
He's like, trust the process. Trust the process. You're not even going to watch hockey this year.
When I turn around and say, I told you so.
All I'm saying, and it always is with the Montreal Canadiens, I don't understand why they don't just hire Patrick Waugh to be the coach.
No, absolutely.
Right there. It's right there.
I can't hear you. I got my ring plug in my ears.
Yeah.
Legend, hard ass, speaks French. Like, it's right there.
I wanted the Leafs to hire him.
How do you know that they didn't try and hire him? And Waugh, given what happened in 93, said, I don't want to have anything to do with
what
you.
Was yeah, that but different that owners, though.
What happened owners. In 93? I don't quite remember.
They shifted them over to the Avs
can,
there.
Can you tell us what they did? What did they do? Take the best goaltender?
He did it
in the history
of himself.
Hockey?
He said
no, it was the coach and the idiot GM at the time who did it. They gave Colorado two cups. He's the best goaltender ever lived.
They did what Amber Heard did to what's his name's pillow there. Laid a dookie on him.
Although, like,
we're watching that right now on Netflix. That's hilarious.
So the Patrick Waugh curse, 1993, is going to live for a long, long time.
Oh my
Trevor?
God!
Trevor,
is the Montreal talk over?
Trevor's not a hockey fan anymore. He's going to wait 3 years before the relevant.
I really don't need to say anything at all.
Because you won 26 cups in the past.
Mark my words.
You're amazing. You won all the cups pre-1993.
Well, 93, awesome. That's 30 years ago now. You can't be squawking anything.
I don't celebrate the Blue Jays victories at all, do you? Do you celebrate the Blue Jays World Series champions? No. I could care less. That's so long ago.
No, you need another
fans
one.
Fans will say about it forever. They won them all the time way long ago. Dude. They're amazing. They're the best. They're the Yankees of hockey.
So to put it into perspective, boys, when Connor, just to put context,
a little leg to stand on.
Just to put context to Collins's wet dream, pipe dream, in 2026, 2027, when Connor McDavid is done at Edmonton, the cap should be close to 100 mil, if not more than 100 mil.
And I think that's conservative too, because gambling is becoming so huge in the sports, and that's jacking up, and they might have another expansion team by then too.
Currently, they only have, 15, 6, and 7.5 confirmed into the 2026-2027 cap year. So they've got, literally $75 million to play with based on conservative cap projections.
Mm-hmm. So they'll be able to sign McDavid for 3 years at that point in time.
Yeah, they could probably sign him. They could probably give McDavid the max at
I think McDavid goes I'm going to play for league minimum and I want to win a cup for the Leafs. I'm going to play for league minimum.
Imagine the hero he would be in Canada. Imagine the hero. They would write
you sign him at league minimum.
Scriptures about him. They'd write scriptures.
And then Canadian Tire signs him to a $25 million a year endorsement.
Yeah. 100%.
I never understood why they don't have a luxury tax in the NHL.
I know, 100%.
Teams, man.
It would help teams like Arizona that play in a footlocker. You know, what the heck? Does it make sense, though?
Yeah, so basically have a hard cap that's correlated to league revenues.
Just like NBA.
And also have an escrow. But then turn around to the teams and go, hey, listen, it's a hard cap. You can go 10% more than the hard cap, but you have to pay
a dollar for dollar tax on it. They go to the lower teams that are
broke. Here you go.
Yep.
Right? But then you're going to get hard things like your markets like New York and stuff like that, where your big markets are already. And they're just going to get stronger teams, right?
Yeah, but then that generates more revenue, which makes more money, which is essentially what they're trying to do. Yeah, I don't care about anything other than that.
You hate to say it, but the NHL, the NBA are better when your Canadians, your Leafs, your Rangers, your Lakers, your Knicks are good.
Absolutely.
I think
in the NHL, they don't care when Toronto, Montreal are good or anything like that. They care when New York and Chicago and all that is good. That's what they want.
That would have been a problem. That would have been a problem like 10 years ago, right? Having this luxury tax. But because of the salary cap, the NHL is probably one of the most, maybe next to the NFL, one of the most leagues that has the most parity. Because literally it's the hardest cup team sport to win. It is the hardest trophy to win.
How much parity is there in the NFL though? The New England Patriots ran it for 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
And now KC kind of runs it.
Yeah, but that
was Belichick though, right?
Well, it was Brady.
No, and they also drafted, right? You remember Tom Brady was a round sixth round pick.
Yeah.
That's good drafting. That has nothing to do. That has nothing to do with team.
That's good player development. That's good player development.
The Raptors do that. Raptors are good at player development and good drafting too. I find.
But the NBA, and the MLB The NBA has a soft cap. MLB doesn't even have a cap. So basically, and then these players get to create super teams, right? So it's just not the same.
NBA league is ridiculous. NFL is really good. James Harden opts in for a $35 million contract. and then says immediately, I want to be traded. And now he's whining because they're not trading him.
They gave him a $100,000 fine, didn't they?
Oh, it's like, it's the most ridiculous entitled players of any league is the NBA. It makes I can't stand it.
What about Mickelson? I like the sport. What about Mickelson betting on the Ryder Cup there?
What do you mean?
Did you hear about that? 2012, supposedly he bet on the Ryder Cup when he was playing in it.
Did he win?
Oh, Jesus.
No, I think they lost the USA here.
As a player, you should be able to bet on your actual self to win.
No, you're not allowed.
Yeah.
So here's a question, I guess, from the business standpoint, maybe even more for Bond. When it comes to like hard salary caps for the NHL, isn't there a way around that where you can set up some form of a bonus structure where, like, if you're a rich team, you can have something off to the side that they get?
You can't get caught. You can't get caught.
Yeah. I think they look at the total compensation package, right, for the cap.
Because I remember when Stamkos was getting moved to Toronto, they told him they'd get him contracts with the Canadian Tire and all this stuff. They're telling him that. But I think it's got to be disclosed somewhat. Because I thought, just sign Nylander to $5 million a year and get him $10 million in endorsements.
Well, you can get endorsements on your own, right? You can get endorsments on your own, don't get me wrong. But I don't think
they don't get endorsements that big either, right?
Like, play an active role in it.
But you almost guarantee that endorsement with a company. Like, you talk to the company and... I don't know. There must be something.
Well, a la Messi. Why wouldn't you do something a la Messi when you brought Messi over, right? They gave him shares TV in the firm, revenue. Right? Like, you know what I mean? There's different ways.
Well, the corporations aren't giving shares to the NHL players for that.
Well,
let's not, a franchise player.
If you're talking to David ourselves. And he's coming over to Toronto, I'm saying, hey, take 1 or 2%. Connor, well, you know what I mean? Come on over.
Take looking at the athletes now. They're all buying sports teams. 10 years, 20 years from now, all the sports teams are going to be owned by athletes. They get paid so much, right? It's crazy.
Yep.
I feel like it just takes the one person to do it, because you look back at that Jordan contract with his shoes.
Yep.
He was the first one to ever get a percentage of the sales. So it just takes that one person to say, we'll give you a percentage of your merch or something. I don't know. I feel like there's ways around it that aren't being explored. For these bigger teams, I can't get over the hump.
So you're about exploitation, eh? You're looking for sneaky ways, rookie?
A little bit, yeah.
Dude, what do we got to do to win, right?
It's 1967. Like, come on.
That's a long time, man. We're going on how many years now here? 60 years, son of a bitch.
Well, honestly, you think the team's that bad this year? Like, the additions they made were great. The only thing I didn't
it's
like,
a fantastic team, Jeff.
I didn't
it's
like
a fantastic
Klingberg.
Team.
I didn't like the Klingberg pickup, but hopefully I'm wrong on that, but we'll see.
It's a fantastic team. It's a fantastic team.
A lot more grit. A lot more grit.
Can you zoom in on Trevor's face again? Just do the rest of the episode with him on his face. There you go.
Do you remember Lee Trevino in Happy Gilmore there? That's what Trevor was. Just knocking his head in.
He's like, I'll watch hockey again in 3 years.
Yeah, so I just got up the NFL here. The last time a NFL team has won back-to-back Super Bowls was New England Patriots in 2004-2003. Sure. Like, it hasn't happened in 20 years, gents. Now, has New England won a couple in those 20 years? Yes.
Six. Same with a couple. It's probably an understatement.
Kansas
it was
City.
A dynasty for right, like, sure, but consecutively, no.
Yeah, but let's.
Well, it's been three teams. It's been Pittsburgh, New England, and what was the other team?
Baltimore? No, Baltimore was before.
No, Baltimore's won one. They won one.
Well, remember when Ray Lewis was I don't know tons about football, but I remember, was it Ray Lewis when he was playing for the
– He won one.
Right, like he was a beast out there. They had a pretty good little squad there for a few years.
They could have won.
I don't know much about baseball.
With who?
The Baltimore Ravens with that defense, I could have been QB and we could have won the Super Bowl.
Yes. Pretty much. Yeah.
You got hit once or sacked once, you break in half. Is it, like, any of us get hit by a linebacker or a defensive, we're dead. It's not we're getting up or sore, we're dead. Those guys are
they
got to
get the paddles on us. Bring them back, bring them back.
Like, do you guys I'm a major Bills fan, so like I'm pumped. Season's about to start.
Do you think you could get 1 yard in the NFL?
No, I think I would die.
If I'm a punter.
They would hit me. I would be so slow off the line. Someone would crush me and break me in half. I'd be in a wheelchair. Yeah.
I think
these
I could.
Guys are so strong.
I think I could.
QB sneak.
I think I could.
I'd probably tear a fucking ACL trying to do a QB
If somebody offered, I'd try, though. That's the meatball that I am.
It's like taking a punch by Tyson. Would you think you could take one punch for a million? No. Hell no. You'd be brain dead.
No.
If not a broken neck.
I wouldn't do that. I fought many a times. I wouldn't take a chance.
I wouldn't take a punch from William Nylander.
Oh, I'd fight Willie, man. I'd do him. I'd take him down for sure.
I'd tackle him.
That's a challenge for you, Willie. You hear me?
I'd tackle him.
Bring it on, punk. Sign your contract.
I'd take on Suzuki and Cole Caulfield at the same time.
Oh, here, let's get on.
I'm not going Lucic. I'm not going at Lucic, that's for sure.
Let's go on to another top story that's happening right now. Okay. And that's Taylor Swift.
Do we have to?
And tickets. But, well, we kind of, you know, here's the thing. And this is the story that's going to be told by Rook, because someone on this podcast has a horseshoe up his ass. And that's Rookie, who got four Taylor Swift tickets for his wife at $250 per.
$320.
Why don't you sell them the day before and pay off the house?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's the whole thing when I was talking to Brandon about it.
So, like, because I said, Rookie, go ahead, tell the story. Tell the story.
We should just talk about this from a pure business perspective.
Sure. But
sell.
It basically, you guys obviously know that you did the lottery to get tickets. 31 million people signed up for it.
And one in 400 email. 400%. One in 400 chance or something like that.
Yeah. So then we got an email to get the tickets for the first show on the 14th. And we were up at a cottage and my wife got the code and she went in and she was in a queue of 12,000 people. And basically we sat on the thing. She was there for about an hour and a bit and it went down and she went into the place to buy the tickets and it was sold out, completely sold out. Not a ticket, not one of those little blue dots, nowhere. And I was just like, why would you wait in this queue to be sold 100%. Out? So she just decided to start refreshing the page to see what would come up. So refresh, tickets came up, 1,500 a piece, 2,000 a piece. Like literally it says on the bottom, like $8,000 for four tickets.
Jesus.
So then she kept cycling through because I was like, just keep trying. Who knows? Like you're here, you're just keep going. So she ended up getting these tickets that are kind of on the side stage for about $325. And I'm like, just buy them. Because they were second-guessing themselves. Like, oh, well, it might be an obstructive view. You might not get to see the whole thing. I'm like, get in the building. Get in the building. Like, my mind is more on the, like, business side of things than seeing the show. So I'm like, just get in the building because you never know. So as she
so you want to see the show? You want to see it or you want to sell the tickets and make money off of it?
So that's where we're at.
Okay, well, right hold on now. A second, Rookie. Let me give you a little word of advice here right now. You want to stay married or...
Well, that's it.
Then do what your wife wants, right?
Yeah.
You tell your wife, do you want to go on an all-inclusive vacation or do you want to see an hour and a half of Taylor Swift?
That's
what you tell her. That's the proposal.
So we bought the tickets.
Nice.
She was excited. Next day, we go online. I was just curious. I'm like, I wonder what they're selling for. So I go on, check it out, verified resale, $2,500 a piece the day after for those tickets.
Unreal.
And I was four? Like, you got four?
Four of them.
Perfect all inclusive vacation, 10 G's.
And somebody that we know, whose girlfriend is like a hedge fund manager, just stupid money, found out that we got the tickets. And she's like, I will give you $15,000 for them today.
Done.
Right now.
Done.
What?
And like, it makes you think
so fast, they wouldn't even think.
So obviously, it's as Josh said, it's in my wife's hands at this point. She's a
smart
big
man.
Taylor Swift fan.
Smart
with
man.
Her sister.
Start putting travel catalogs everywhere.
$15,000? That's a lump sum payment on your home.
You can make another $13,000. It's going to take a long time to find another unicorn.
So then there's another
It's a concert. Watch it on YouTube.
I mean, his wife's going to leave him. Be like,
go to Jamaica for a week. Go to Sandals.
Hey, would you do that to Jill?
She would not want to. She would take the money so fast, it wouldn't be funny.
No, but if it's something that Jill wanted to do.
A Taylor Swift concert versus an all-inclusive vacation? It's not even close.
No, just something that Jill wanted to do versus you making $15,000.
Oh, we have to do that all the time when I go somewhere.
In my head.
Let Rookie finish the story.
I'm comparing it in my head to kind of what something that I love that much, and I actually couldn't find anything that I love that much. Not even the Super Bowl, honestly.
You scolded me, Curry? I would probably, is that what you're doing?
Game 7, Leafs Stanley Cup?
I was going to say Leafs Stanley Cup.
Game 7?
No, because I don't want to be disappointed.
Shut your mouth, man.
There we go. A real
Leafs fan. I know Taylor Swift's going to show up and play the songs, and I'm going to be happy.
Yeah, but you're going to be there for 2 hours when you leave. You're going to say, oh, my God, that cost me $15,000. Yeah. That was $15,000.
What was your response to the Leafs Stanley Cup?
He says he doesn't want to be disappointed. He basically said they're going to lose.
Oh. But that's a cop out answer.
You know what?
That's
now that you said that, I hope you go to the show.
That I'm not letting you go with. Leaf Stanley Cup final, game 7.
In Toronto.
In Toronto. You got tickets, not platinums, but golds. You can resell them.
Probably $15,000.
Yeah. You can resell them for $15,000.
I'm not doing it.
Me either.
I'm not doing it.
No.
Because it's history.
Yep.
Yeah, but is Taylor Swift history, or is everybody just caught
hold
up
on,
in
let's,
the
oh, let's yeah. be clear here, gentlemen. Nobody remembers who came in second place.
I know.
So is it really history?
Did a little while ago, and he knows.
Exactly. So the thing it is history. No, technically, concert. No. It so both are history because first there's only 6 shows, and we don't know when she's going to be back through again. The prime minister and the government had to beg for that to happen.
If Trudeau worked
really hard to get her here.
And if she comes back,
marriage,
tweeted
at
her,
right? Cost him his marriage.
Well, two, we also have to remember the Leafs have not been in a Stanley Cup final. Forget about winning the Stanley Cup since 1967. Mm-hmm. So you going to
but you
the
can
Leafs
no longer
Stanley,
say
that
you've got these tickets for
moment.
Two yeah, grand.
Once in a
you
generation.
Have to say those tickets cost you $15,000.
You guys are generations. You never know.
Do you remember though the second round, first game, second round? Cheapest seat in the ACC, because I still call it the ACC, was about $2,000 to get in the building. So, like,
and then, by game four, it was probably $50 because nobody... we knew it was over by game four.
I couldn't even put a figure to what it would be for the Stanley Cup final. Like, I think it'd be way more than that.
I think,
get in the building, like in the 10, like
see,
the 10.
That's the other weird thing about going to that game 7 and all that. It's something that would be nice to experience at home too. It's nice to be at the thing live, but if I've had opportunities on some major playoff events and all that, I almost like to be home, sober, enjoying it because you don't know if you'll ever be able to experience that again in your lifetime, right? Like it's going to happen.
Just the story,
the Bills, but like, do I want to be
the story,
there for it live?
Right? Like I was there for you to be able to say that, and I bet you the Leafs would be $15,000 a ticket
for Game 7 final to win it. Yep.
Yeah. But Montreal,
like
probably $15.
Yeah. Because it would be an imaginary land.
Yeah. Because they're getting second, for sure. Not our Leafs.
But apparently, this tour with Taylor Swift is apparently the biggest tour of all time from a revenue standpoint.
Yeah, it'll be.
According to media.
No.
Everybody's getting caught up in this.
And Billy Joel. And Billy Joel said it's like Beatlemania.
So,
he's like, I was here for both.
Guys, here, listen. No. That we've done the research here at our firm. We've actually gone into the economic data. So when Taylor Swift went through the state of Colorado, she did 3 shows in the state of Colorado. And when she was done those 3 shows at the end of the year, her 3 shows, the economic impact represented 30% of the state's GDP.
Jesus. Oh, God.
An economist
why
on
Smith doing economic data on Taylor Swift.
Well, we're finance people, that right? Like that's what we do. So just that's, for
what's
you know,
the economic data on Toronto Maple Leafs traveling, huh?
Not that much. Sorry, but there is like
Bills fans travel well.
But here's the thing: they're saying just out of the Los Angeles Arias tour, I think it's called Arias. You know, if you use the average U.S. price of $250 a ticket. Right, the face value, the average $250 ticket price in Los Angeles per show, everyone's spending 5 times the ticket price. So they're spending $250 on a ticket, and they're spending an additional $1,250 into the economy.
What do you think
so
the parking is going to be?
There's 56,000 people at the Rogers Center. There's 6 shows. So that is 336,000 people that
this
are going to be
capitalism at its best.
It's 336,000 people. And all, but even if you say they all spend an average of what, $1,000 per person, when you think flights, hotel,
meals,
merchandise, totally feasible. You're like the, what is it? What would we figure out?
336,000.
Yeah, you're looking at 336 million as a rough estimate is going into the Toronto economy.
Any coming to Niagara?
Kind of
any of it coming here to Niagara, you think? I'm just teasing.
No. I thought she
but to be fair, if you're flying in to Toronto and you're from out west or you're from down east or you're from another state, why wouldn't you go to Toronto and then drive through and then fly out of Buffalo or fly into Buffalo?
Yep.
Like there is a lot of spin-off economic impact from these types of events.
100%. 100%.
And people are paying it without blinking.
Yeah.
Look
at something like a World Cup or something like that, right? You get a World
Cup. She turned down the Super Bowl, eh? She turned down the Super Bowl.
That's crazy.
She's not stupid.
I'm good.
That's why.
I'm good. Crazy. Well, she knows the focus will be on the Buffalo Bills for the Super Bowl this year, and she doesn't want to take that shine off.
So I'll put it up to a poll of if I should sell them or
sell
them,
sell,
keep them, or
sell 10 times.
Are you putting a poll up online?
Sell and go to sandals.
My opinion is
trip of a lifetime.
779 billion. So we divide.
My poll is
1, 2, 3.
Do what your wife tells you to do.
But just put a subliminal message out there, like sandals is really
so
nice
realistic.
For 15 grand.
You do sell them.
It is. So I didn't want to misspeak, just in case I misrepresented the numbers. So in 2022. Ontario's GDP was $779 billion for the GDP. So this one concert, if people spend conservatively what we think that they're going to spend, it's 4% of the entire province of Ontario's GDP. The GDP in Ontario is going to grow by 4% just because of Taylor Swift.
I say she runs for prime minister.
CPI, you got to remember, is sitting... CPI is currently at 3.3%. So her one concert is going to
solve inflation.
Outpace CPI.
What's that going to do for the inflation numbers? Is inflation high because of Taylor Swift tickets right now? Is that the real? Did you do a search on that?
Is there a correlation between
that? Could be
2%
of inflation right now. Tiff Macklin's got to look into that.
Well, I mean, technically speaking, you're talking about people spending their disposable income. So really,
which everybody's saying they don't have any of it, right? So I guess there's no recession if Taylor Swift can get that much money. I think the real problem
here
is
that's a big jump, but yeah, I know
it's just but this is the way they sell tickets now. It's disgusting. It's all bought and then resold and done. Like,
yeah,
I don't even want to go to, like, I'm going to a concert tomorrow and I'm paying $250 to see it. A ticket. I'm like, oh my god, I gotta pay $250 for this and all that. I'm like 8 rows from the stage, which is
what do you want to see?
City in Color is playing at Amphitheater tomorrow.
Nice.
So we're going to see. We had to get 5 tickets together. And in order to get 5 together, we had to pay like the top ticket. Not the top because they're like $500 bucks in the front. But now you're going to buy tickets. You're lucky to get one. You got to win a lottery to get tickets. Or then you got to pay like 5 to 7 times the face value to get it right away. Or you got to get lucky the day of to get tickets. It's crazy.
How is it that somebody who pisses and shits is worth that much money? Period. You're a human being, man. Like,
yeah, but you got to remember those ticket prices. It's not the artist that's getting that ticket price.
No, I know.
Pre-negotiated that they're getting paid X amount of dollars for the performance. It's the venue that's making the revenue.
But the artist,
no, it's the second person.
It's the artist
making the money.
It's
the markup,
right?
Yeah, sure. So, like when you're buying and selling on resale, but I'm talking the actual tickets themselves.
It's like legal scalping now on online, and they go for crazy. Like Ticketmaster does it now that if that many people are trying to buy the day of, they have a sliding scale. So it goes way up because so many people are in there. Like go back to the days. Like this is what's nice about music right now. My son's writing to records. So he's buying albums because it's on record. They're $50 a record, right? Which will help the actual artist because everybody downloads all stuff with Napster and all that.
Yep.
But go back to the days where you had to get in line overnight in order to get tickets. And if you're in line there and you get a ticket, great, you go. And there's no markup. Scalping's illegal. No. Get rid of it. It's such a bullshit thing to do to fans. Scalping. There's more people that aren't even fans that make the money off it. The fans
you
get
arrested if you scalped, though. Like what you're referring to.
Need
them,
need
them, got them.
Anytime you go
after.
To
well,
the
because you can
center,
put it
anybody saying that, right?
On a second website, and then they can make money off it. That's okay to do? Like StubHub and crap like that?
No, I'm
not
saying that's okay.
It's legal scalping that marks it up crazy. It's stupid. It ruins the fans' experience.
It definitely has an impact, for sure.
It goes to the highest bidder, right?
Exactly.
So you don't always have true fans at shows anymore.
Correct.
So, Jeff, are you a huge City and Color fan?
Huge.
And obviously Dallas Green and
I like Alexis on Fire too, but I'm a big City and Color fan.
Yeah, City and Color.
We saw him in New York a little while ago. It was the best show I've seen like my whole life, basically.
Yeah, Scotiabank Center. You don't have to look any past Scotiabank Center. You ever go to Scotiabank Center? If you're going to see an empty seat, it's going to be in a Platinum.
Yeah,
all the time.
Right.
Dallas Green's great. I met him at a Korn and Alice in Chains concert.
Korn.
Really? He was in the crowd.
Yeah, he was in the
Lane Staley, Alice in Chains, or way back in the day.
No,
the original lead singer.
Yeah, this is not the original lead singer. No, he was not there.
He's dynamite.
But dude is so down to earth and just like happy to meet people and say hi. Like my buddy was the one who initiated. I'm like, I don't bother him. Like these guys get it all the time. Let's just let the man live. He's like, no, I'm going to say hi. And like the conversation was like 5 minutes long, and then he was asking questions about my buddy's life. And I was like,
I'm obsessed with his latest album. I actually bought a record player and his album on vinyl just because I want to hear it in a different way and all that. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's a good dude. That'll be fun, Jeff. I'm jealous.
Yeah. We saw him in New York about 2 months ago in a Beacon Theater, 4,200 people.
That's crazy.
And the acoustics were so... Did you get tickets to Tool, Trevor?
Yep.
Did you buy them from Ticketmaster? Or did you buy them second?
Ticketmaster.
When are they playing?
November 20th. I can't even tell you what I paid for tickets.
See, I'm going to see the Bills play in Philadelphia right around then.
Ticketmaster, Tool.
That ticket for Bills in Philadelphia started at $250 American nosebleeds.
You're not going to wear any Bills gear, though, right? Like, we want you to come back.
Oh, fucking right.
On the podcast.
I get hammered and I wear it and all that.
Oh, boy.
Every time the Bills play in Philly, I go to see my best friend lives there.
No, that was...
And then when they come here, he comes here and he wears his Philly gear. And it's Philly's nasty place.
Philly's nasty.
You know what, Collins? So when we went, we were in section 322. And what was that? 18, 19, 20, 20. So four seats that I bought. Tickets were $4.95.
It's not bad.
I got a pair of tickets for the current, that was 2019. I've got section 309. So close, you know,
where's this
same level?
Scotiabank or
Scotiabank Arena. Yeah. Two tickets came to $2.19 for the pair.
So that's good.
That's cheap.
That's good.
So
that's cheap.
Yeah.
You guys, does it piss you off how expensive concert tickets are? You're like, ah, it is what it is, what the market bears.
Certain things.
If it was going to the artist, it would be more fine, right? But if it's getting scalped like that, you feel like you're getting raked over for some asshole making money.
Like that Taylor Swift thing just, oh my God, I can't believe it.
For me, it depends on who the artist is. Do I want to see how badly?
I think I'm fine with paying about $100 to $150 a ticket. That's right, my sweet spot. If it's like my favorite bands, I'll apparently pay up to $250 for it. I'm going to borrow for it. But that's about, like, my son likes, I don't know if you guys ever heard of Death Grips. You might have heard of them, Trevor. It's a new age kind of hardcore, rappy kind of R&B. My son's really got good music taste. It's actually very interesting. Huh. And they're playing in Toronto in a small venue, I think 2,500 people, which I think is the best kind of show to go see, right? I'm not sure it is. But tickets were like $250 each. And I was going to surprise it for him. I'm like, holy crap. So we bought him a record player and all that. And I listened to some of the songs. I'm like, oh my God, I can't handle it. I felt like my dad listened to stuff I listened to. I'm like, oh, I can't handle this, right? And I'm trying to be open-minded about it and listen to different music and all that. But like for him to go see a concert now, I got to dish out $500 plus parking, plus any food and all that. You know,
$1,000 like, night.
$1,000 night. Like it's insane. For a little girl, go see Taylor Swift. Like some of our close friends we're going to concert tomorrow with, they flew to Texas to go see it. So it was a $5,000 trip for her and her daughter. And now they're here and she's willing to pay $5,000 on it again. And I'm looking at the husband. I'm like, oh my God, that's a vacation for the family.
So I saw a reel. This woman posted online. The way she's talking, she's Canadian. She told her daughter that she would, you know, get her Taylor Swift tickets. And all of a sudden she's finding out it's $2,500 a ticket. So in this little, you know, social media reel that she's got. So, I don't know how to tell my daughter this. So I guess in turn, what I'm going to be doing is I'm renting my husband out. He's available for these types of chores. And this is the dollar amount I'm looking for. Just joking around to pay for the Taylor Swift tickets. Cause she promised that she'd take her daughter.
Poor husband. Why wouldn't she rent herself out?
She was a very attractive lady too. I was thinking that. But no,
there's ways to make quick cash online these days.
If you need to, eh?
There's a couple ways to make it.
Bet 365. Bet 365. You could put probably $10,000 down that when Toronto plays Florida, that there's going to be fights. You can put that down. I wonder if you can bet that. But Rookie, yeah, I'm all for sell it. Go on to the best vacation of your life.
I say sell it too. But I also say listen to your wife first.
But you just got to do a suggestive, very calm, start leaving like sandals kind of brochures around there. Yeah.
Rose petals. And
wow. Presidential suite. 1 week, $15,000 for two and a kid. Or go alone with another kid. Make another kid. Make another kid in a presidential suite. Okay. That's a memory.
Yeah, the vacation presentation. Sandals. Sandals, resort and bar.
Yeah, presidential suite.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? There's also, I know people that are doing, they're selling two and then going, like taking two and going and selling two just because they're that outrageous. I asked her what her price point was for her to actually consider it. She's like, I have no idea. Probably $5,000. Has to be. You can get $20,000 for the tickets. Like now that's literally a down payment.
Yeah, but even still, though, like you could, you why don't you just turn around and just say to her, like, compromise and go, okay, two tickets, you take a girlfriend or your mom or whatever you want to do, we'll sell the other two, and you'll easily be able to pocket $5,000 to $7,500 just based on what that one friend is telling you, right?
Yeah, you realize you're not getting invited for the Labor Day barbecue, right, Curry?
Where's the Labor Day barbecue?
At Rookie's place. His wife's putting it on. Yeah. She's fucking pissed at you right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
When she watches this back.
I still
you know what? Invite us all, Rookie. We'll talk about how good sandals is. We'll talk about how good sandals is.
So Rookie. Yes, at the party that just did not survive at Sandals Resort.
She still gets to go to the event because the fourth ticket was supposed to be Rookie. So really, she just has to piss off one other person. Because Rookie doesn't care.
Or I just go and dress in a Canadian tuxedo and embrace it.
Yeah.
And you can daydream about that presidential experience. Suite, you know, getaway.
But Rookie, if you really, really want to play to sell them, my suggestion or my advice to you is to play on her heartstrings and somehow incorporate the child in so that you can say that, you know, the money is being put towards the child's future education or something memories. Along those lines.
$7,500 right? Towards an RESP.
And then it's compound memories. that over another 18 years, right? Say like you're talking
best money Keller, ever spent is family vacation.
Brandon did all the math and that's going to be the equivalent of at least 50,000 by the time.
Maybe we all present together.
There you go.
She can't castrate all of us. Right, no, she can't castrate all of us. Yeah.
No, you know what? All she would have to do is talk to my wife because my wife would think it's insanity to throw up that kind of money for a show like that. She would punch me in the face if I did it. She would even let me go to a Leafs game or a Bills game that was that big of a moment, and I don't think I could do it.
That's the crazy thing too, because I did think about selling them on like a Ticketmaster or StubHub, and you don't get the money till the event's done. And if you're selling them for that much money, like $20,000, like how do you even know that it's gonna transfer properly? Like it's a lot of money.
Yeah,
it's not just a couple $100. Like it's that's the other thing too. Like how do you?
And there's fees on top of that too. You don't get the full 20.
Oh, Ticketmaster takes their piece.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they do because they're the vehicle.
Bastards.
So we'll see. I'll let you guys know if I'm sleeping on one of your couches in the upcoming days.
We could do a whole episode of you on the couch. You on the couch.
Here's the deal.
All overgrown and all this.
It's like half baked. He'd be the guy on the couch, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Here's the deal, rookie. Don't worry. I'll throw a sausage on the barbecue for Labor Day, and we'll call it a barbecue party, okay? And we'll just sit, we'll have our own little. I'll have a beer and we'll just have a sausage. I'll be your Labor Day.
Just make sure Taylor Swift's playing the whole barbecue.
Yep.
Yeah.
Until it annoys the shit out of her. Like it just played on nonstop, so she's so annoyed by her voice that she's got to sell it, and then you subliminally did your job, and then you go to Sandals or go to Hedonism. Yep.
That's a gear change.
There you go.
That's a quick switch.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Really, Jeff?
My uncle loves Hedonism.
Jesus Christ.
He's a big fan.
I'm not getting into a talk on the hedonist, so
I couldn't go there.
No. I wouldn't want anybody to see my wife. She's all mine.
Just to switch gears a little bit, I'm curious as to what you guys think of all this, the Ford Greenbelt stuff, especially Jeff with the development background and everything.
Oh, I can't believe he's not going to jail for what happened there. That's what I think. It's insanity.
But is it that obvious what happened?
Well, 100% it's obvious.
That's what I'm saying.
And they've got a scapegoat that they're firing to get off of it.
Listen, that's
probably
not
getting a couple million on the back door to take the fall.
Collins,
we're talking
Collins.
$8 billion here.
Collins, that's not a scapegoat. Ryan Amato is the chief of staff for the Minister of Municipal Affairs. That is like literally next to the finance minister. The Minister of Municipal Affairs, like Steve Clark, like his chief of like that is a big person to fall. Like
huge.
That's a huge.
Oh, but what I'm
huge.
Saying
regulates all the,
my conspiracy theory is that he accepted it and somehow he's going to be made whole and never work again.
Yes.
So yes, the best way
he'll go work for a builder
theory and everything, right? You get one person who's the fall guy and it all goes away. Right, there's
it's
so
not
much
a conspiracy.
Money. Oh, it's not a conspiracy.
It's not a conspiracy theory. It's capitalism.
Oh, it's 100%.
It's like saying these people who turned around and said like COVID was a conspiracy theory. No, it was not a conspiracy theory. It actually existed. They're like, well, then what about all the vaccines? I'm like, it's called capitalism. That's what it is. That's what drove it. It has nothing. It's in plain bloody sight. When you got Martha Stewart in 2022 advertising to get your COVID-19 vaccines, like that's capitalism.
How
it's
did Ford do?
Theory.
How didn't Ford's portfolio jump like something like how many?
Just in the last. Okay, if you look. Okay, here's a couple for you. Right. I like not Nancy Pelosi, but Nancy Pelosi's husband. Look at how wealthy they've become since she's been the House of Commons, right? Joe Biden's
didn't he get the shit beat out of him? Pelosi's husband,
yeah, from a burglar. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I think he pays for that stuff. He likes it.
It ain't House of Commons, it's Congress.
Yeah. So no, if you look at that, Canadian, like, American, if you look at his portfolio, it's crazy. You look at Biden's portfolio that was just in Forbes the other day, Forbes or Bloomberg, I can't remember which. That increased by about a couple hundred, tens of millions, right? It's capitalism, guys. There's no conspiracy.
Well, and that's the interesting part. We've kind of gone from COVID being
the
center of attention for everything. Now it went to inflation, the center of attention. Now it's a lack of housing being built because. The builders have stopped building because the costs are way too high. And Ford trying to get as much land as possible to build. But who's going to build these houses? Because every builder who's big right now is pulled back.
Yep.
We were talking about this on our WhatsApp chat, right? Like all the builders are pulling back right now because costs are insane on materials. And even more importantly, the borrowing money. Like they're borrowing between 8 and 12% right now. And every day that goes by, Ford's out there yelling, and this is how he's trying to pass through this Greenbelt thing. We're so short houses. Like, what is it? Like, they have to build 1.3 million in the next 10 years, so 130,000 a year. And the numbers that they've actually built are, like, minuscule compared to what they need. Like, it's insane. So that's how he pushed the Greenbelt through. But the bigger problem they have here, and the interesting thing in Niagara, They have a new guy for the housing affairs coming in just to overlook everything in Niagara because it's one of the big target areas. And the interesting thing that just passed through, Welland just got strong mayor powers given to it by Ford.
Which is a joke.
Well, but you know why they give it to him? Because he's had so many permits going through with Empire Homes. And so they're counting on how many permits are going through and getting added, and they're giving strong powers to that. The bigger problem here is development takes 2 to 3 years just to get it done. And the red tape bullshit that goes on with it costs more and more money for all the buildings. I'm developing something. Me and Trevor have a client that's developing something right now. And the little hangups on bullshit that happens on the one municipality, they have an archaeological buffer zone that we could just do an amendment on the actual land register, and you can't build in that zone. And they say no. You know, and apparently now it's fixed up. But when you're trying to find out an answer for it, you got 15 different people not talking to you about it. What they need to do is what PP's trying to say right now, who's trying to become the next prime minister, put some bonuses there for the municipalities that help the builders and push it through quicker, because they can do it so much quicker. They don't have enough manpower to put it through or intelligence how to do it, but they got to push this stuff through quicker because there's perfect build situations out there that are delayed for no reason whatsoever. And Ford just pushed it through right now because he knows it's the hot ticket item, but that's all we're going to hear about for the next 2 years is the lack of housing being built. And builders pulling back. And so what do they got to do to get the builders going? They're going to have to compensate them somehow to offset the cost of the interest and the materials right now. Otherwise, they're just going to wait.
Absolutely.
But Jeff, you threw something over the bow there yesterday in our group trap. I think it was Jeff or maybe Curry about them appointing one of the regional director for Niagara.
Yeah, for housing. Oh, I just threw that up there.
A facilitator, you mean?
Yeah, to facilitate.
They're doing something. Yeah, it is.
What they should do is
talk to the local builders and say, how do you feel about what's going on right now?
Hopefully this person dies, right?
Guys, the facilitator has nothing to do with housing. The facilitator has everything to do with amalgamation. That's what the facilitator is supposed to do. So is it going to be four major cities or is it going to be one major city? We don't really know just yet, and that's what's going to happen before September 11th.
And I think the beauty of that is to make it more efficient. If they could take Niagara and have it as you apply for a permit at one place, and then they have all the inspectors all around there and smarter people overlooking the plans, you make the efficiency go up so much. Like when you go to get a permit for a build, it's supposed to be 10 business days to turn it around. We average 3 months on a permit right now. 3 months on a 10-day turnaround on their website.
Yeah, that's for that one particular municipality though, right, Jeff?
No, that's on most municipalities around here right now.
Okay.
Some lenders work the same way, right? Mortgage lenders, some of them say, oh, it's this much time for a turnaround. Well, yeah.
But there's no recourse if they said, well, it's a Friday, we'll get to it on Monday. We're too busy, you know, so probably Tuesday, you know. And then they look at it and say, well, you missed this one thing. And then they wait another week and say, we forgot about this thing too.
See you next Tuesday.
Do the builders get in trouble, the ones who accepted these contracts for the Greenbelt development? Or is it just like that's a business transaction and the only person that's in trouble is Ford, really?
100%.
That's correct. Yeah, because that's saying as long as it wasn't used with dirty money, it wasn't there was nothing illegal that happened according to the builder side of things, right? Like a builder just turned around and said, oh, this land's for sale? Okay, I'll buy it.
Well, the problem here is that the builder knew that it's going to be rezoned to go from agricultural to subdivide. I was like, right beside me right here, there's 26 acres of land. It was bought for $600,000 in 2020. They put it up for sale for $3 million thinking it could be subdivided. And the city just said, no, we're not changing the zoning. So if someone said to me, hey, Jeff, we're about to change that zoning, go buy it for $600,000. You can put up for $4 million next week and subdivide it to 1,500
homes. Like insider trading, right?
Oh, it's crazy. The amount of money you can make turning agricultural into residential zoning is insane. Insane.
Prove that they knew, though. Prove that they knew.
Golf courses are going from golf courses to housing, right? Because the lots are worth way more as land than a golf course.
Yeah, but prove that they knew that it was going to get rezoned. How did they know?
So why would Ford even do this if he's the only one that's incurring any risk? The rest of them are just like...
money.
The back pay to him, like coming back to him.
Well, somehow he's getting paid.
Think about it. Like, think about it. It's one way or another. somebody is getting greased in some capacity, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you just told me, to use Jeff's example, hey, Jeff, go buy this lot of land. In about a year, it's going to be rezoned and you're going to be able to do more for it. And you'd be able to either flip that for four times or you're going to be able to four or five times. Or you get to keep it yourself and then sell housing on it, right? Well, Jesus, like, I mean, what's 10%?
You just found a gold mine, right? You just found a gold mine.
Right, or just a job, just, you know, like it's crazy.
No, the amount, it's insane. The return on investment on land from farmland to residential is the highest return investment you could probably get in the world today. And if you know that's about to be rezoned, like really, that should be insider trading. That should be.
And who knows what'll happen, right?
Maybe. Old Bobby Joe, who knows it's getting rezoned, has to do is, you know, tell his buddy from high school that he hasn't talked to in 20 years. Hey, give me $1 million. And yep. I'll tell you this information. Boom, you'll make it. And then when it does close like that, I want a big fat payday in my house. I want Taylor Swift tickets
happen, though.
For the whole family. Happen, right? Ford did all this for Taylor Swift tickets, I heard. That's
100%.
100%. He switched it over. To me, reading the tea leaves from the outside, it looks horrific. Mm-hmm. Do we need housing? The problem here is the green belt. They don't need to develop that because there's so much land that's not developed yet that's in there. And they usually don't open it up for more land until that's been developed. And this isn't needed yet because there's a lot of undeveloped land that's in the right zoning right now.
Well, how about this? Like, it happened at the federal level during COVID, right? Rookie, there's a story on Crier right now, right? The prime minister delayed purchasing vaccines for what, 3 months? Was that the story that I read on Crier.co? And in order to, why, we don't know. But then if you look at the people who got the contract for the PCR tests and for the rapid tests, and look who they donated to during the last federal election. Like, this happens all the time. I'm not saying it's an excuse, and I'm not saying, but the Auditor General is going to get down to the bottom of it.
Well, and Ford, his daughter had like a stag and doe, and all these developers were at stag and doe and like donated all kinds of major prizes and stuff like that. You know, it just looks so like it's completely wrong.
It's too obvious.
But the optics look brutal.
Perception is reality, right?
Oh my gosh.
Well, I mean, like, what's stopping a developer for being invited to the wedding, and the busta is $10,000.
Well, and this is the problem. What's the premier make? What's
absolutely
the premier salary? You don't know this, Greg. What's Doug Ford get paid a year?
It's got to be a few hundred, eh?
200, 300?
It's around, it's 250,000. Hold on.
I was going to say, I don't think he's broken the three, because I don't know what the prime minister makes there. Like, they're, the salary is
208,400.
What is he at?
It says 208,974 as of March 24th, 2023.
Yeah. And the problem with that is that's his salary. And then he's got the ability to make people billions of dollars with just certain moves. It's too much power.
But that's why his salary isn't very high, right? Because he's going to make connections and make money elsewhere, right?
Well, exactly.
No.
But you just made people billionaires, made people billions of dollars. And you don't think people think that he's not going to get compensated somehow on that?
100%.
It's ridiculous.
100% he is.
Yep. But anyways, boys, it is the end of the episode. We all have, you know, stuff to do. Rookie, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Enjoy Taylor Swift, buddy. We know you're going. enjoy it.
I think we also will be worrying about the next recording and going live, because we'll have to get that in the books, guys. We'll put that in the group chat so that we can get Charles Adler on. He wants to come on the show, and nice. Good friend of the show, and we'll do that.
Good.
But anyway, Mondo, can you take us out, please?
Go Habs. Help us help you stay informed. Out.
Ciao.
Cheers.
Do, did, will. The Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent Podcast, NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of five podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jagged Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundle from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. Follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.
Hey, yay! Hey, yay!
Produced by Crier Media and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.